Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa.
Out of the night, you as the dawn, into the light, child, innocent child, soft as a fawn, this child is born.
Lila Bialy. So it was Christmas Day 2 days ago. This is Tony, your genial host, and Lorianne's hovering around the background as we welcome you to the Christmas edition of the Worcester Reports. And although we are going to pepper this program with little bits of Christmassy stuff, we are also going to broadcast an interview that we were very fortunate to get just under a week ago when we were in Clanwilliam on a short holiday, which had started in Langevin. We had a great time. And Clanwilliam is the kind of centre, or near the centre, of the region in the world where rooibos tea is cultivated. It won't grow anywhere else, as you will hear from Sanet Stander, who runs with her sister Marika the Rooibos Tea House. So we were really thrilled when we managed to persuade Sanet to talk with us and tell us all about the history of rooibos. So if you've ever drunk a cup of rooibos or you thought about it, this is for you.
Lorianne and I came to Clanwilliam because it's the headquarters of the rooibos world. In this region, you'll find just about all the rooibos being grown that is grown. And we were very, very fortunate to come into the Rooibos Tea House and talk with the co-owner. And she's going to tell us quite a lot more about rooibos. Her name is Sanet Stander. Welcome to CWCP Radio, Sanet.
Thank you, Tony. It's nice to be with you guys.
Now, a lot of people don't know much about where rooibos comes from. I'm a prime example. I knew nothing. And you gave us a little talk this morning, and I learned a lot more than I'd known before. So why don't we start by looking at how it was discovered and why it only grows here.
Okay, so this is definitely rooibos country, and Clanwilliam, and better known as Cederberg, is the only place in the world where rooibos tea is cultivated, as you mentioned. But the reason for that is mainly two big reasons. It's our climate. As you experience yourself, it is extremely hot in Clanwilliam, We average 40 degrees during summer days, and then we drop to minus degrees in winter. So it's very extreme weather conditions. We do get a little bit of snow during winter, and we do get winter rainfall. But then the other reason for rooibos only growing here is the plant called Aspilates linearis. It has a taproot growing down 3 to 5 meters, and that needs to grow in very, very deep sand, and that's why it's ideal to grow here. But it's also indigenous to the region. You still get some plants in the Cedarburg Mountains, but it's been cultivated since 1930s. So it is almost 100 years that the farm industry of the Clan William and Nivotville and Citrusdal farmers are doing the rooibos thing in this region.
Now, it's been cultivated just for 100 years, but I'm going to guess maybe for much longer than that, people in this region have been making use of it. Am I right?
Correct, yes. It is not 100% clear if the settlers, when they came to the region just after they arrived in Cape Town, about 10 years later, they move up north into the Cedarburg. They found the koi. We're not sure if the koi definitely drank it, probably had it as a medicine, but there's discussions about that. So the settlers started to drink this as a tea. For them, it was good alternative on the black teas and coffees that they needed to import. So for them, it was good to have something local that they can drink as a tea. Now, in 1904, Mr. Benjamin Ginsberg, he was from Russia, and he was part of a tea importer family, and he settled himself in Clan William and soon realized that this tea has a lot of potential. So he started to export first to his family, but also selling the tea, and realized that the tea growing wild in the Cedarburg is not enough to start an industry. So he wanted to start an industry, and he hooked up with Dr. Lefrance Nortier, and they've done a lot of research, especially on how to germinate the seed. And when they've done that, they convinced the farmers in the region, as I mentioned, in 1930s, to start farming with it. And interesting enough, Mr. Benjamin Ginsberg had the first brand for rooibos tea, and that was named 11 O'Clock. And still today, the tea, 11 O'Clock, is still in the family of the Ginsberg, and they are the biggest importers for rooibos tea in England.
So we now have probably hundreds of farmers in this area growing it. Tell us a little bit about the commercial development. How many large firms are there, if any, that or is it entirely just lots of small farmers? How is that set up?
There's a lot of farmers in the region doing the rooibos tea. And back in the day, there was a rooibos cooperative. The cooperative, everybody needed to hand in or sell their tea to the cooperative. And in 1993, the rooibos industry privatized. So then it was open market, and then a lot of companies develop. You'll have the big company that after privatizing was Rooibos Limited. They are still today the biggest in the industry. They do have a lot of competition. We have companies in Citrusdal, Carminti, a lot of women working there, and they have a very interesting range of teas. We have the Khoisan tea. We also have Bidoe Valley. Another company will be Ohuis. That's a very Afrikaans word for old house. African Dawn is in the industry. There will be people in Nivotville, Heidefeld, and obviously there's a lot of commotion or a lot of tea doing people doing business in the Wuppertal region. Wuppertal is in the middle of the Cedarburg, and they are small farmers, and they do also their own brand of Wuppertal tea.
So, Nat, what is Rooibos Day? It's coming up.
National Rooibos Day is celebrated on the 16th of January. Me and my sisters, Mariki, we decided to honor the people of the rooibos industry. not only the farm worker, not only the farmer and the tea drinker, but also the fathers of the rooibos industry. And we had a lot of thinking on what day to choose, because it's quite difficult to choose a day with so many public holidays. Unfortunately, this is not a public holiday. So drinking rooibos tea on the 16th of January, it's the birthday of Mr. Benjamin Ginsberg that I mentioned earlier. And we think he was one of the farmers, of big fathers of the industry, but also just having fun with a cup of tea. But there's so much more about rooibos tea to celebrate, and it's a unique South African product. We should be all very proud of this, and it is not only our product, it is the world's product. And so many people are enjoying this worldwide for health benefits, for the taste of it, for just memories, especially those who are living abroad now. Used to be South African, and those people, we would like everybody just to have an extra cup of rooibos tea on that day and celebrating this unique product of ours.
So this is your initiative?
Yes, we started it in 2016.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You could get world famous.
I hope so. Yeah, but we hope that we can call this International Rooibos Day soon, because we export to more than 60 countries. So if the people want to help us with that, that would be great.
When you say you export to more than 60 countries, you mean your tea house here does that, or other organizations?
No, the tea house don't export. We ship across the world, but the industry. The industry produce between 11 and 17,000 tons annually, and they say more than half of that has been exported to 60 countries.
But if somebody listening to this would actually like to receive some, and they live in Venezuela, can they get in touch with you and you would send it?
Definitely, definitely. We can send, as I said, anywhere around the world, we can send from Glen William, yes.
Would they get in touch with you online?
Yes, we have an online shop, www.rooibosteahouse.co.za. And there you can see all the different brands and different flavors that we have on offer.
So that's a great opportunity to talk about the tea house. How did this company of yours get started? What were your dreams, and how are things going?
Okay, so the tea house started in 2012. And we, Mirky and me, had a small shop in town. We serve tea and coffees, and we had material, wool, haberdashery, gifts and jewelry, different things that we had. And then I told her one day that there's not a lot of people out of the locals coming to our little shop. And there's so many foreigners in our town. I can spot them. I've been in tourism, so I spot a tourist on a mile. And I said to her, it's funny. How do we advertise to get the people to come to us? We're not in the main street, so it's not the main spot to see, but nowadays it is. but we, then she came back to me and she told me that she had this dream. And she think we should start a rooibos tea house. My exact words on her was, isn't all rooibos tea taste the same? And she said, I'm not sure. I don't think so, but let's figure out how many flavors and blended teas are in the market. And then we start with local companies and then we see how it goes. So the local companies we contacted, and we ended up making a list of all the flavors and blended rooibos teas. And soon we had, just out of locals, we had more than 100 flavored and blended rooibos teas. So that is quite a range of teas. And then we stop at that point because we needed to keep it local. Now, in the tea house, we represent 10 local companies. And then we break it into groups. You have your natural tea, the original one most people will know. You have it in loose leaf and in tea bags and tin collections. Then you have something like green rooibos. Now, green rooibos is quite an interesting one as well. It's unfermented, so the plant's been harvested, chopped, and immediately dry. It's quite refreshing, a fresh drink. We also have flower teas, chamomile or roses and lavender mixture. Fruity teas is quite nice, especially in Glenwilliam with our heat. We drink it cold. So you make it strong and then you cool it off and then you can drink it cold. But teas like mango and peach and cranberry and apple mint and orange chalk and cherry orange, the different fruity flavors. Sweeter teas, your vanilla, after natural tea, the most popular one worldwide. Caramel, licorice, cookies and cream, very popular one. And then you have spicy teas. Spicy teas will be something like ginger, or you have a chai mix of ginger, cardamom, cinnamon, black pepper and cloves. Now that is more a winter drink. And when we do get foreigners, especially from Germany, then they told us that this smells like Christmas tea. So the Christmas tea I drink in winter, and that will be in June, July in South Africa. And then the last group is your herbal teas. Now herbal teas, we have this home remedies like buchu. Buchu is a plant that helps with high blood pressure. So everything is rooibos base, and then they add the flavor or the mixture of tea. Lemongrass, fennel, also senna leaf or hoodia. Hoodia is also a local plant, succulent plant that is an appetite suppressor. Okay, stop it. Don't everybody call at once. it's not necessary. We have lots of tea available. The Rooibos Tea House also then offer a tea tasting, where you can choose any of the teas and then you choose 7. It's a very informative, educational experience that we offer. And then you, after the tea tasting, you can buy whatever you like from the shelves. Otherwise, if you don't have the time for a tea tasting, you can just pop in for a cup of tea, enjoy our beautiful mountain view that we have, and have something on the side like our famous carrot cake or a muffin, but we are not a restaurant, we are a tea house, we like to keep it like that. In fact, I don't know if you know, but Rooibos Tea House is the only Rooibos Tea House in the world. So we like to claim that, living in the capital of Rooibos Tea.
Most of the varieties that you've just talked about, you've added different fruit flavors or whatever, but the basic product, the basic tea that comes from the plant, do you also just sell that as an unflavored product?
Yes, definitely.
What would that be called then?
Just rooibos. Rooibos tea, or we call, sometimes it will be on the packaging, will be called pure and natural. Also, some people will call it a herbal tea. Rooibos tea is not a tea plant. As I mentioned, the name is Aspilatus linearis, and it's part of the fine bush. So just rooibos. Some people I know overseas have difficulties to pronounce the word rooibos, and then they'll just call it red bush. But in 2014, our government and the Rooibos Council managed to register the word rooibos as a geographically indication, a GI, meaning that if another country will be successful in cultivating the plant, up to date, nobody has done that. But if they are successful, they're not allowed to call it rooibos. We have the same protection that you'll have with champagne.
Now, if we look at that basic product, does that contain just about all of the health benefits? Or are they added to by some of the things you're adding in?
No, definitely has a lot of health benefits. Most people will drink rooibos tea for their caffeine-free. Being caffeine-free, people can drink it at night, so it's a nice sleeping bedtime tea. And it is also then calming effect. We drink it lots for upset stomach, to calm you, your stomach. And people who have stressful works, they will drink it as well. But then it is very high in antioxidants. And lots of research has been done on that. And then it is one of the products that doesn't contain any calories. So the people like to drink it as a detox for dieting. But then one of the big things for rooibos tea, and not a lot of people know this, it rooibos tea is anti-aging. And it's not only drinking it, but it is using facial products for that as well. And it helps with allergies, rooibos tea, lots of people will give it to even to an infant, to a baby, because it will calm them with colic. The baby has colic, give them the tea. It's not a replacement for the milk, but an add-on, and they sleep much better drinking rooibos tea. Just pure, natural, without milk, without sugar, just as it is.
Just going back to the kind of teas that you drink, have you yet developed an alcoholic version?
Yes. No, not really. No, what they do is these days they infuse rooibos with quite a lot of things. So we do have in South Africa a few companies doing rooibos gin. Gin-infused rooibos, very, very nice. Some of them are red and some of them just light brown. Then they have a rooibos beer that they infuse the rooibos, and also red wines they do make with rooibos tea. So yeah, the product on its own, no alcohol yet, but it's the product is added to alcohol beverages, yes.
Well, we are in South Africa, so that doesn't surprise me. But let's now look at products that are not for drinking, but for skincare and everything else. Could you just run over the kind of things? You mentioned a few already.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So skincare, a few companies doing that. Companies like Anique, African Extract, that's the big names. We have local lady, The Storyteller. She's making everything with natural products, natural oils and natural plants that she combines with this rooibos tea. And then you have soaps. Now, soaps, very good for dry skin and also very good for eczema. So people will use the soaps. But I don't know if you know, if you had really bad eczema, then you can either bath in the tea or you can just wipe or tap yourself affected area with a used tea bag. And you can also use it as a toner for your facial routine. And then our chefs in South Africa, they do love baking and cooking with rooibos tea. So there's different ways of infusing it. You do get syrups and spritz and balsamic drizzle. That's pre-made, and then you can just use it on whatever you fancy. But people who like to bake and cook, they can Google. Google is my best friend. And then you can Google and see different recipes. Famous recipes been served in very fancy restaurants, and that is rooibos-based or rooibos-infused.
We had Christmas a few days ago. Can you draw any connections between rooibos and Christmas?
Christmas and rooibos, yeah. Definitely you have to start your day with rooibos tea. But then, yeah, as I mentioned earlier, the Christmas tea, and that will be for everybody who is freezing during Christmas with snow. And yeah, it's difficult to imagine that you've never been there. But yeah, I know the Germans, they make a Glühwein, and they have this at the Christmas markets. But now this rooibos chai combination is almost like a Glühwein without the alcohol. Yeah, you can definitely drink it, but we like just after our Christmas, we had way too much to eat. So we sat down and we had a lovely green rooibos cup of tea just to get us going again for the next day, because we had definitely way too much to eat.
So it settles the stomach.
It definitely settles the stomach.
Now, is it bad form to put milk in rooibos tea?
I want to say not in front of me, please don't. But it's... The thing is, South Africans has this British influence. And as we know, the British love their milk in the tea. So a lot of South Africans do add milk to the rooibos tea. But I used to drink it with milk, and it was not nice anymore for me. And then I haven't had rooibos tea for many years. And then somebody told me, but have you tried without milk? Because we grew up with the idea rooibos tea has milk. And then I started to drink it again, and total different taste. It's so much nicer for me. So there's nothing wrong adding your milk, but I think when I try to convert people to start drinking it again, then I told them trying to without milk, and then they're happy without milk, yeah. And then I've got them hooked on rooibos tea again, and That's my type of person.
Would people put sugar in robust tea?
They do that as well.
Particularly South Africa.
Oh, yes. 3, 4, 5 teaspoons of sugar. But robust tea is a natural sweet taste. So you don't need any sugar. You really don't need it.
I totally agree with you there.
We
should tell everybody, because particularly we work with young children, and they're putting 6 or 7 spoons of sugar in tea.
It's terrible. No.
It's very sad.
Yeah.
One last question. I'm looking at a wonderful sculpture on your wall. It's a barbed wire cross. Is that there for any spiritual reason?
I love crosses. Crosses is one of the things that I do adore, and I love African artwork. So that is a street vendor. We do have a lot of street vendors in South Africa. And he came along and he had this beautiful cross. And it's not a, as you can see, it's not a flat, it's a 3D cross. And yeah, obviously I'm a Christian and I believe in God, and it's for me important to express myself in that, yeah.
It reminded me of the Crown of Thorns when I first saw it. So I'm very glad it's there for a reason. And not this.
Yeah, just for dear God. Yeah, no, I like it.
Sanette, thank you so much. I feel, we feel so fortunate, because I think you're probably the world's expert. You've certainly spoken like one. And I don't think many people outside this region would know anything like you do about this. So thank you for sharing your experience and your great knowledge with our listeners. And we hope you had a lovely Christmas.
Thank you very much. And thank you for the opportunity. And for me, it's like spreading the gospel of rooibos. So I just love talking about rooibos tea, and everybody visiting our shop, they must enter with a belief that they want to get some knowledge here, and then they must leave when they are fully equipped with all the information, but also with all the tea, so they can have a tea party at home and that they can celebrate National Rooibos Day wherever they are.
And many thanks to Sanette Stander for that insight into rooibos. And certainly, I'm going to be drinking more in future. The other thing we discovered on our holiday was the great power of bees to help with our health. We went to Simply Bee in Hopefield. We chatted with Yolanda there and learned a lot about the healing power of bee products, both for nutrition and for skin care. Now, this time of year is really important for Christians. The day that our Savior was born in Bethlehem, or sometime within 4 years, according to latest research. And we certainly want to mark that and to hail it as one of the greatest events, if not the greatest event, in the history of the universe so far. And this year, we decided to play a lot of Christmas music. We set our machine going on Christmas Eve, and we've been playing Christmas songs on CWCP radio ever since. I calculate so far about 1,400 different songs, mainly coming out of the Christian Christmas genre. So if you've been tuning in to any of this Christmas music, good for you, and we hope you enjoyed it.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me, and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God.
Growing in God through Christmas God Moments. My name is Laurie Ann, and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've spent Christmas in Northern Ireland, England, Pakistan, St. Martin, Canada, and South Africa. This time it's Christmas in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During my last two broadcasts, we discovered that we grow when we depend on God for all our strength. The Apostle Paul shared with us to use our weakness as an opportunity to lean on God. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 10 says, "That's why I take my pleasure in weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Gideon was transformed from a fearful man to become a great hero. We can do more in our weakness than we realize. If you have any form of disability, it does not stop you from doing great things in God. There are many examples of people that God worked through their weakness. I recommend you visit our CWCP podcast page on our CouplesWesternCape.ca website to learn more. I specifically have two parts of a talk on God using us through weakness, so check it out. When I was in the acceptance process to become a long-term IRIS missionary, my health was the question that topped the list. Our base co-founder, Johan Fleury, defended me and said that while I couldn't do certain things more able-bodied missionaries could do, I could do a lot of other things. These things include our call to love, teach, disciple, and befriend vulnerable farm kids and township kids. It includes our prison ministry, my artwork, bookkeeping, and web work. And it includes writing, CWCP Radio, and Stopping for the One. Tony and I often talk about Stopping for the One wherever we are. It's something that our IRIS Global co-founder, Heidi Baker, says all the time. When people ask her how she does ministry in a nutshell, she often says, "We just stop for the one. It's not complicated." Heidi also says that love looks like something, and it does. This means that love has different flavors. This isn't about chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry, but about the many different ways of showing love in practical ways. To a single mom, it's about practical help in fixing things and being a support to her children as well as her. To a lonely senior, it's in lovingly listening to their stories and encouraging them that they still have purpose. It's in relationship. To a person with various disabilities, it's in bringing practical help that they need and want, while respecting their dignity. There are so many examples. To a love-starved child, it means like being a loving aunt and uncle. Sometimes, well, maybe a whole lot more often than sometimes, this means giving them something good to eat, while listening to them, praying for them, teaching them, and holding them close to you. That is, once they trust you enough to hug them. I'm fortunate. Some kids have warmed up to me right away since they see I'm not threatening. And many kids love Uncle Tony and have wormed their way into Tony's heart. Sometimes it's a ride in Avian Park, one of our townships in Worcester, and other times it's a ride to church. We also disciple and love on 8 or more teen girls from Avian Park. They love to come up to our retirement home village for the Wi-Fi, sandwiches, Bible studies, and the love. These are often planned times of ministry, usually on Monday and Sunday afternoons. We have many times of planned ministry, and we give these times to God for opportunities for what God would have us do beyond our planned items. In other words, our agenda is very loose, so we can allow for what the girls want and what we would like to share. We also have many beautiful God moments with the Bradfly inmates on Saturday mornings. It's amazing what happens within the space of 2 hours. It's the same when we're teaching at Masterpiece Academy. We are teachers, but in some of those moments, we have God opportunities to bless each child depending on their needs and the Holy Spirit's leading. The most needy child is Umpo, who has ADHD, but he learns and receives love by touch. So I always hug him and touch him gently and appropriately to show him that we love him and are there for him. Sometimes stopping for Umpo in the context of school is to encourage him that he can still learn despite his disability. He actually came top of the class in the art school last term. Then there are the moments that are in between planned activities. They go beyond Tony's visits in the hospice, which involve healing, prayer, and pastoral care. These are the moments when we meet people in cafes, grocery stores, on holiday, and in need anywhere at all. Ministry time isn't just for planned times during the week. This can be for anyone at all, not just full-time missionaries or pastors. But the biggest step is to intentionally go beyond your comfort zone and trust the Holy Spirit's leading. It's a little adventure that can be a great blessing. God often sets up little divine appointments in our lives. Ask God to set them up for you. They can be most fulfilling. The person you are to connect with could be anyone at all, male, female, teen, or child. The key that I've discovered is that you sense a nudge inside you. Any fear for the unknown becomes overwhelmed by a wave of compassion towards that person. That is the key. Then you know that this is the person that you are to speak to. This person could be a lonely person in a cafe, and you find that you have something in common. Say you're reading the same book, or you feel a nudge to give them a little treat to share with your tea. Tony finds opportunities like this to find people to interview for the Worcester Reports. Sometimes we may find a place or a person seemingly by accident, and yet it's no accident at all. Tony found the Iris affiliate couple, Josh and Rachel Minter, of the East London Ministry, Global Mercy Missions, when I searched out ministries near our Grahamstown B&B. He found the co-founder of Rooibos Tea House in Clanwilliam when we stayed in the Cedarburg just before Christmas. She brought us the Rooibos experience, and we even shared our faith together with wonderful stories on both sides. Sometimes stopping for the one involves people you don't expect, including family members. Stopping for the one at Christmas involves insight into those who are lonely and alone. Some of these people are seniors, but they also can include busy single moms and caregivers. Christmas can be a stressful time and a lonely one for those who are on their own. One way to do this is to invite someone to Christmas dinner or another festive meal like Boxing Day and love on them. Make their Christmas. Another way may be to help a working poor person with a Christmas purchase. Say you're in the queue at a store and the person in front of you is short a few rand for an important meal purchase or a toy for their child. If you feel that wave of compassion, then reach out and help their Christmas. Or help someone struggling with grocery bags. You may see someone in obvious physical pain. They may need practical help and prayer. It doesn't hurt to ask. People rarely say no, and you can bring a touch of hope into their lives. You may even be asked why you're filled with such love and joy. Or they may remark about the peace that surrounds you. It's Jesus. The key components of stopping for the one during the festive season, as they call it here in South Africa, are the same as the other times of the year, with more opportunities. Most people are actually more open to receive at this time of year. Christmas carols, gift-giving, and special meals don't always require financial resources. These are opportunities for giving and showing love. The components of stopping for the one include that you need to allow God to love others through you and to trust the Holy Spirit to guide you. You don't need fancy words or a formula. Be yourself. Be willing to be humble. Don't rush. Heidi Baker was always telling us at Harvest School to go low and go slow. This means to be humble and to take your time. And if you work with children, lower yourself down to their level. Your divine appointments with people are not a project. They are real people with real needs. They also give unique blessings that can blossom into special friendships. The journey can be a wonderful one, especially if you can allow God to give a special Kairos God moment to someone at Christmas. Pray about the opportunities as God opens doors for you. You don't have to go to Bible school, seminary, or mission school to stop for the one. Sometimes it's as simple as bringing your neighbor cupcakes, tea, and a loving chat. Lord Jesus, thank you for the Christmas season. Open our eyes to see the moments right in front of us. Let us see you in others and allow others to see you in us. Fill us with your compassion and give us direction to love on specific people at this time. We give you our calendars to fill with your appointments. Open our eyes to see them and you, and our ears to hear your loving voice. Thank you for coming to earth to show the Father's love that we never could have received without you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Koppel's Western Cape Radio.
And during her Christmas Stop for the One talk, I distinctly heard Lorianne say, "Be yourself," which gives me a wonderful opportunity to play my favorite South African tune of the last year by Good Luck and Boris Smith, "Be Yourself."
has she done? Seen nothing terrified or compromised or living in the midnight sun. I asked her honestly how she keep the shimmer that was in her eye. Or find the energy to live us free and never let a moment by. She said be yourself.
You're listening to The Worcester Reports, the Christmas edition. And from a recording studio in Cape Town, where Boris Smith does his stuff, we're going to go to a not-so-professional recording studio in Bromfly Correctional Centre, where we will hear some of the inmates singing Christmas carols quite recently during the Alpha course that Laurie-Anne and I run there.
She's been a lot better since then. Yes. So, welcome to Christmas. We're going to start off with What Child Is This? We don't know if you're familiar with these carols or not, but you're so good at learning things. I'll tell you something about this tune before we play it. It's called Greensleeves. Anybody know when this tune... Anyone heard that tune before?
Spanish guitar.
Well, it was written by a man called Henry VIII, the King of England, 1509. And it's considered to be probably the most popular tune of the last 500 years. How about that? But it's now a carol, a Christmas carol, with What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Will angels breathe with endless sleep while shepherds watch are keeping?
Oh,
Well, next one is famous because it was written by a mouse. It's a snowy night in Austria, and the organ wouldn't work because a mouse had bitten a hole in the organ pipes. So the organist had to play some music for the church, and he couldn't play the organ, so he did it on guitar. And he didn't have any guitar music, so he got out some sheet music and he put it on his desk, and he was thinking, how shall I make this tune that the people will love it? And at that moment, this same mouse had dirty paws, and he jumped down right off the top of a cupboard, right onto his sheet music there. And the organist saw this, and he noticed that the paws had made special marks on the sheet music. Mm. And he played the tune. And that's the tune we're going to play. It's called Silent Night. Now, you may or may not believe that, but one day about 10 years ago, I was driving on April the 1st in England in my car. And that story was on the BBC. BBC. They never tell lies, right?
Yeah, they never.
But it was April the 1st. But it's still a great story.
Silent night, holy night, holy sun, holy rise, from your virgin mother and son, holy angels so tender and mild, sleeping there.
Because that's what he did. He brought joy to our world. One thing we try and tell people, if I'm in the hospice talking to men who are going to be dying soon, I try and tell them that their life may seem bad, but they can still have joy in their hearts if they know the Lord. And that's what this is all about.
Joy to the world. Let things end.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
On Christmas Eve, I went to the Gospel Express, the train church near Robertson, and I recorded the Reverend Lionel Kuiper's sermon. Unfortunately, the sound quality is terrible, so I'm not going to play you the whole sermon, but I'm going to play you a little tale that he told about one of the happenings on the first Christmas Eve. And after that, we'll have the song The Innkeeper by Lenny Gallant.
And this chick went all the way to Bethlehem. And we know that there was difficulties. They couldn't find accommodation. And I'll tell you a funny little story about this before we go further. Now, you mustn't laugh, eh? This is really serious. A couple came from Port Elizabeth while we were at St. Martin's Church in Birkfleet, in Badger. And they were full of the joys of life. And they said, Shirley and Roy, they said, at the church that they were, in Port Elizabeth, St. John's, they had a nativity play. And the Sunday school had put this on, and they chose various people today to play the different parts. And the lot fell on one little chap to be the innkeeper. And when he was told that Mary and Joseph would come and knock on the door, and he must say to them that there's no room in the inn, and he said, no, I can't do that. That can't happen. They persuaded him and they taught him and they said, listen. And eventually, reluctantly, he decided, okay, we'll take the part. And he went through all the rehearsals, and everything went fine. And on the night of the play, there was this knock on the door. And the innkeeper opened it, and he ad-libbed. He didn't do the lines that he was taught. And he says, I'm sorry. There is just no room. There's no room. There's not the room for a dog, even extra to live extra. I'm sorry. I'm deeply sorry. And he's lamenting, he says, and he turned away, and then he turned around and he says, would you like to come in for a beer?
It was cold the night it happened. I was tired, it was late. I'd served too much wine, the travelers I could barely tolerate. Through the shouts and drunken laughter came a knock upon the door. There was something desperate in the sound that I chose to ignore. Again I heard the knocking like a hammer on my heart. I flung the door open in anger. I peered out into the dark. I could tell there was no profit to be made from what was there. Nothing but a tired and worried man, dusty and threadbare. On a donkey there beside him sat a woman full with child. Her time has come, he said to me, might we rest here for a while? Again I heard the knocking like a hammer on my heart. But I said I had no room for them and bade them to depart. Was the light from lamps within the inn or somewhere in the sky? I saw her face turn towards mine. I looked into her eyes. Oh, my knees began to weaken. My hands began to shake. Somehow I felt I'd be forgiven for all my mistakes. again. I heard the knocking like a hammer on my heart. But voices beckoned me inside the inn, and I left them in the dark. Soul by some power that was stronger than the darkness could control. I ran out into the street, inquired at every other inn. Oh, it seemed that they'd been turned away from every place they'd been. Again, I heard the knocking like a hammer on my heart. Then I heard a baby cry from somewhere in the dark. I found them in a stable, kings and shepherds gathered round. It seemed there was no room for the likes of me there to be found. Oh, I could not understand it, but I had to see the child. When the mother bade me to come near, I swear I saw him smile. Then I heard what sounded like a thousand chains breaking apart. And a door now swinging open, letting light enter my heart. And through my heart. And through my heart.
On Sunday, the 16th of December, Phil Adewumi, who you've heard on the Worcester Reports before, had what amounted to a CD release party right in the middle of the Sunday service at Worcester Christian Church. And it was much appreciated, and as we went out, we bought a copy of the album, got him to sign it. A little while later, we were in the car, put it in the player, and pushed the button. Our girls from Avian Park were already in the car, and wasn't I surprised when they all sang along with the African medley that Phil starts his CD off. So here's a little taste of their singing on top of his in the car, and then we'll move to the original from his new CD, Justified, which I strongly recommend. Phil Adewumi.
To the yard, I'm still comrade. To the yard.
Pentatonics, and it's the 200th anniversary of the first time that Silent Night was played, and it's the 2018th anniversary of the birth of our Lord. We hope you've enjoyed these pieces of music and talk about him and what has happened to the world since he came and stayed with us for a while. Thank you for listening to the Worcester Reports this Christmas. We'll be back next week when we have very special guests, a couple who will be married shortly, talking about what brought them to this momentous decision. They're good friends of ours. We hope you are having a restful time this Christmas. I'd like to especially thank Sonette Stander from the Rooibos Tea House and Laurie-Anne, my co-producer on all these things, whom I love passionately. And we're going to finish the show with the Peace Project from Hillsong, their Christmas album, and we like this very much indeed. So you can soak to this, or you can probably even dance to it if you want to. God bless you all.